In Exodus 14, if you glanced at the green notes, you have seen how I've taken you back to the Exodus, when they came out of the bondage and the slavery in Egypt. And we tend quickly, easily, to run over those opening verses of chapter 14. And we miss the lesson. I want to talk to you about just a noise. Life is so often filled with unexpected problems and crises. Just reflect on where we are now. It's amazing how divided the nation is. We're split on almost every facet of life, from the political choices to the kind of culture and society that we want. There are these huge ongoing protests about the environment, the incredible, the seemingly impossible to resolve attempts to create some kind of new world order, whether it's David Attenborough or whether it's Extinction Rebellion. And the challenge that we are living with is a challenge about change. Change everything. So pull down the statues, judge the past by the present, rewrite history, amend everything, from transgender issues with all those kind of problems to the anarchy that Extinction Rebellion produces. The head of the Metropolitan Police has issued a request to the Extinction Rebellion people today to say, please don't go floppy on us when we move you on. Where are we living? This whole argument again about Black Lives Matter, the argument amongst the football clubs, can we stop bending the knee or what? The undercurrent of Marxist ideology that's there. And then there's this raging controversy as to how we should react to COVID-19. The list is endless, and it seems to change almost every day. I can't, we can't understand how people think the way they do. And I dare to say it, because of our faith and our trust in God, we are misunderstood for the way we think. Why can't we sing in a congregation? What is wrong with a people praising the Lord? If you look back over 2020, we've had the intensity of coping with the pandemic and remembering at one and the same time victory moments, VE Day, VJ Day, the events, the consequences that concluded World War II, and all kinds of harrowing, brave actions have been highlighted for us. Let me tell you about David Milton. He was an 18-year-old merchant seaman. And he tells of the time when his ship was transporting Sherman tanks, I think it was 1942, from the USA here to Europe. 20-ton, 30-ton tanks. And in the middle of the Atlantic, the tanks broke loose in a violent storm. They were Sherman tanks. So as the ship rolled, the tanks would, with a loud bang, collide against the bulwarks at the bulkhead. And then they would roll the other way. And they were actually shaking the ship in such a way that they were threatening to tear the ship apart. They were in a convoy. So very reluctantly, they were asked to stop being part of the convoy, to try and fix their problem, and then sail on their own. And David Milton tells how the deckhands came down, and they were like cowboys. Their lassos were chains, and they're trying to throw them over the tanks as the tanks were moving. Well, they finally did get them locked down. Milton lived to tell the story. And here was the issue. The greater danger to the ship didn't come from the storm outside, but from the disturbance that was taking place on the inside. And how true to your life and mine and the scenario in which we are involved right now. We handle the stresses, we handle the storms, we handle the issues that come from without, but we only do that when and if we batten down within. So when so many things around us are negative, it's all the more important to get a perspective. And that's why we're encouraged to trust God. That's why we have to recognize that He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And that's why I've asked the church at home, and I'm asking you to turn with me to two strangely different scenarios in Scripture that will help us to batten down on the inside so we will cope with what's going on the outside. And the first one was this in Exodus 14. This request. God asks Moses, go and tell the Israelites to turn back. God, is that really what you said? Yes. Turn back and camp near Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Why? We're going to the promised land. That's what you said to us. That's what you called us to do. Why? Turn back. Well, the next verse or so, We'll give the answer. Let me read it to you. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. They will know that I am the Lord. The Passover night is over. So this seems so strange. And as we focus on crossing the Red Sea and the ultimate destruction of the enemy who'd made them slaves for the past 400 years. What's at the back of this? The King James Version has a better way of rendering the Hebrew text. It says, Pharaoh will say they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And there are times, just like now, situations and problems that come our way when we feel entangled by them. Where is everything going? How are we going to get out of this? Everything seems so confused. Allow me this morning to tell you something. There can be no entanglement. There can be no wilderness confusion that can shut us in when God is leading us to our destiny in Him. So it seems strange, but it would prove significant, because the same people further down the chapter will hear Moses shout, "Don't be afraid. Stand still." And sooner or later, "Stand still, you will see the deliverance, the salvation of the Lord." That's verse 13. We know the full story. We know that is exactly what happened. They did cross the Red Sea. It was both miraculously and spectacularly one of the great events of the Old Testament, like the cross is of the New. Stand still. That seemed a strange, crazy, insane command. Stand still. The enemies are coming to kill us. It's foolish. We're cornered. The situation is hopeless. There's the Red Sea in front of us. Egypt's armies are sweeping towards us. These impassable mountains and desert terrain is on our flanks. Nothing could have been worse. So did some of them go their own way? I think they probably did. They would have perished in the wilderness. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Whoever would have thought of parting the Red Sea so Israel could walk through on dry ground? God did. And here's an amazing lesson for us. When things seem impossible, that's the time to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We don't have to give in. We don't have to give up because of the discouraging, disparaging words that are constantly being hurled at us. These modern day pharaohs will not have the last word. Jeremiah was giving a series of prophetic messages. And it's in chapter 46 and verse 17. And this is the amazing thing he says. Pharaoh, and often Pharaoh and Egypt are the same word. But Pharaoh is only a noise. As your pastor this morning, can I get you to grasp this in terms of our current situation? From the TV biased, dramatic style reporting, the glaring newspaper headlines, the ministerial statements that contradict themselves one after the other, the chaotic decision-making, the false news, the conspiracy theories, the conflicting advice. It is only a noise. Just a noise. We can determine to trust God and not be afraid. And that's why I asked for Psalm 86 to be read. "How are you, David?" "I'm in trouble. Real trouble." That would be his answer. David was facing formidable enemies. And his only comment is, "I'm poor and needy," as he calls out to God for help. And Psalm 86 is a paste-up of a mosaic, if you like, of quotations from various psalms that he had previously written. So he's got the right to do that. And feeling totally inadequate to face what was going on and what lay ahead, David is encouraged by what he knows about the Lord. Guess what? We can do the same. We can do the same. This is not the first time you've worshipped. This is not the first time you've opened this book. This is not the first time you've heard preaching of the Word of God. Paste the mosaic of what you've heard together. In verse 8, he says this, "God, there is none like you." And he proceeds to say some things in his paste-up of things he said before. In a way, it gives us a glimpse of God's CV. Only a glimpse, because there's so much more. So the request now is linked to a resume. What is God like? And one of the overarching factors is God is a God of compassion. That he looks at us, he recognizes and senses and appreciates our situation and need. He knows what we're going through. He knows what a struggle it is to be here this morning. And it means that he is willing and he is ready to help us in situation when no one else seems to be doing anything. Do you know one of the things you read again and again and again and again and again about the Lord Jesus? That he was moved with compassion. In a whole variety of encounters, as he shared his life with us here on this earth. And I needed to tell you again, he's just the same. Ours is a compassionate God. A God who is compassionate. A God who is gracious. And you sense, as David pastes this kind of triage of sentences together, how it conveys love and concern. Why? Because that's the quality that lifts us up, that enhances our lives. You alone are God, verse 10. No deeds can compare with your deeds, verse 8. Some while back, I read Psalm 73, because I go through the Psalms at the weekend. And I read Psalm 73 in today's message. It was an eye-opener for me. Let me read it. No doubt about it. It's verse 1. No doubt about it. God is good. But I nearly missed it. I was looking the other way. I was in my quiet corner. I was having my devotion. I didn't read any more. And God, how many times have I been looking the other way and I've nearly missed what you were trying to say to me. I've nearly missed what you were trying to do for me. I nearly missed how you were wanting to work in the church here. I nearly missed how you wanted to take a hold of each of our hearts and lives and pour out your blessing upon them. And what a challenge it was. This is how I took it, to keep my eyes looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. So when I say, here's God's resume, here's his curriculum vitae, here's his resume, he's a compassionate God, he's a gracious God, he's our source, our security, our peace in all our circumstances. Stop looking the other way, or you'll miss him. You'll miss him. And then there's a third perspective, a God who is long-suffering. What does that really mean? It means he never gives up on us. It means that he believes in us. It means that he wants us to reach the goal and our destiny. The NIV translated, he's abounding in love and faithfulness. We had a song being played just a moment or so back. Faithful One, so unchanging, ageless One, you're my rock of peace. It's one of the songs that will be on your WhatsApp today. Simple lines from a contemporary chorus that we sing again and again, and they resonate in our hearts. Why? Lord, because that's what you're like. That's what you are like. You're long-suffering, you're gracious, you're compassionate, you're faithful. So I have a request that changes the perspective for me. I have this resume that reminds me of what God is like, and woven in like thread in a fabric, there is the realization of what we need now. Two simple things. Your touch, Lord. Your touch. Preserve my life. Says David, I'm in trouble again. Verse 2. Unite my heart. I only want you. I want my heart fixed on you. Because I know this, a divided heart will lead to instability and uncertainty. And then it climaxes in verse 16 of the psalm, strengthen my hand. You see, when you reach breaking point, you have two options, only two options. You break down or you break through. And so much happens in the gospel records of the amazing power of the Lord's touch. Blind eyes open, lepers are cleansed, lame walk straight, crowds are fed, fevers go, dead folk like a young girl or a widow's only son and a best friend called Lazarus are raised back to life again. Natural phenomena changes with his touch. Storms are stilled, empty fishing nets are filled to breaking point, or one fish will be caught with the tax shekel in its mouth. Water will turn to wine in the stone jars. Your touch, Lord, your touch, your favor, Lord. And I wanted to reassure you, nothing catches God off guard. Nothing's too hard for him to handle. And this personal scenario and situation we're in with COVID-19 and the church situation. They can all become a platform for him to demonstrate his love and care for us. And that's really why I wanted you to open this service with Jeremiah's lament, a marvelous, moving moment of tribute and lament as he saw the walls derelict, the smoke from the fires, the city desolate. And he says, "Great is thy faithfulness. Your mercies are fresh every morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is good to those who depend on him." It's Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. Just the word for us today. It's in effect the assurance of his presence. Because after all, what is the problem if he's there? Cleland McPhee pastored a church, a Presbyterian church in Chicago, and he was stunned by the shocking news that his two lovely nieces, both of them together, just died of diphtheria. And he took his Bible, and just like I do, he went to his own private spot. And he turned to God. And it wasn't long, but he felt the stirring. He was a musician too. Some lines coming into his heart. A new hymn with a tune flowing into the tears and the grief. And on the day of the double funeral, he stood outside the quarantined home, the lockdown home. See, when I was a boy and the ambulance passed us on the street because tuberculosis and other fevers were prevalent, I don't know who started it, but we'd stand there and we'd watch the ambulance and say, "Touch your collar, never swallow, lest you go in the ambulance." He was quarantined, and with the tears running down his face, it was his brother Howard's home. He choked back the tears and began to sing the song. And he got his choir to sing it the next Sunday. They repeated it there. And still ministering today, bringing comfort to so many. And right here now, just to you, just for you, because we want you to go on trusting. We want you to go on keeping faith and keeping with God. Hold us in the hollow of your hand. Help us to constantly keep that resume before us, how you are the mighty God. And most of all, help us to find our hope is in you. Help us to know that you hold us and you keep us and you go with us and you live through us, so that glory, honor, and praise may be brought to your great name. Grant your blessing on your people here. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the great love of God and the fellowship, help, and blessing of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.